Welcome to the Trinity Baptist Church Sunday Message Podcast.
So we're talking today about Father's Day, and if you have your Bible, I'd ask you to turn with me to Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. This will be a verse that's familiar to you, and I know this day we've had our camp, and now we're going to youth camp here in a week or two, and it's important to encourage our fathers and all parents of the role of leading our children spiritually. Parent, not the church. Don't say, well, I'm leaving that up to the church. It's not the church's task to raise your kids spiritually. That's your task, to be followers of Jesus Christ. And I know that often that doesn't go exactly as we planned. We raise kids maybe that don't follow the Lord like we'd hoped they would, or maybe they drift from God and come back. Maybe we have that testimony in our own lives. We're raised in a Christian home, but we really didn't serve the Lord till later in life. I remember Barbara Mandrell, she said she taught her son Nathan three songs about Jesus. Jesus loves me, Jesus loves the little children, and this is the day the Lord has made. And she was anxious to see, singing all my exes live in Texas. It doesn't always go as we plan it, but the Bible gives us this promise from the book of Proverbs, and let's just read it together. It's a short verse. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, we understand that Proverbs was probably mostly written by Solomon, and it was the words that his mother taught him, words that his father taught him. We think probably Proverbs is an instruction manual that parents use to raise up their children, to choose the right path, and when they are older, they will remain upon it. The Good News Version says, teach children how they should live, and they will remember it all their life. We want to pour into our kids the Word of God. Fox had a story this morning entitled, Top Financial Lessons to Teach Your Children This Father's Day. I didn't read the article, but it got me to thinking, it doesn't do a lot of good to train up children to know how to worship. And so you and I, our primary responsibility as parents, as fathers, is to teach our children, to train them in the Word of the Lord. So let me take the word train and break it into five words as an acronym and kind of help understand what it means to train your children. So the first word, to take away, to discipline, to show by example, to nurture. The Hebrew word actually means to narrow, figuratively, to initiate, to discipline. Now, teach them diligently to your children. The Word of God, the things you've heard, the things you've been taught, teach them diligently to your children. One of the questions that I have in my own mind as a grandfather now, you know, 13 times over, 14 times soon, well, we think about, did I teach and did I do it diligently? I mean, enforce the point. Ephesians 6:4 says, fathers, do not make your children angry, but raise them with the training and teaching of the Lord, specifically the father's role to be the spiritual leader of the home, to train up his children to serve the Lord. And this is God's pattern from generation to generation, from one generation to the next, passing along the baton of faith. That if I fail to do it, then I haven't trained up my son to lead his children to serve the Lord. My father and many other people have reminded me through the years that you're not just raising kids, man. You're raising fathers and mothers. I had four daughters, and I kept thinking about the fact you're raising daughters. Yeah, you're raising daughters, but you're raising mothers. And now these have multiple children that they're raising. They're raising them the way I taught, the way my wife taught, that them as they were being raised. Do I want my children to be the same kind of disciple of Jesus Christ that I am? I want to raise them up, understanding I'm passing it along to the next generation. Psalm 78, verse 5, the Word of God says, He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, the children who would be born, that they may arise and declare them to their children, that they may set their hope in God. And again, you may not have been someone who was raised in a home that nurtured you in faith, but by golly, you can begin today and be the parent, the grandparent, that raises up that next generation to know and serve the Lord. So the Bible says generation to generation, we pass along this faith. And the scripture says, train up the child in the way he should go. He should go to follow the Lord, to seek the Lord, to know the Lord, to live for the Lord. Many churches use what's called the catechism. Catechism is a Latin word, but it means oral instruction. And in the middle of the word catechism is a Greek katakine. Katakine is from the word eke. Eke means sound. And we have an English word we use. It's echo. To hear it over and over again. Here, I'm going to yell in this church and you'll hear the echo. Ready? I'm just kidding. I'm not going to do that. You'll hear the echo. That's the word catechism. Repeated instructions on serving the Lord. But God has given us this mandate to instruct our children, to train them up in the way of God. Susanna Wesley, 17 children. Number one, subdue self-will in a child and work together with God to save his or her soul. How about in the house to have as your goal the salvation of this child's soul? Number two, teach him to pray as soon as he can speak. Number three, give him nothing he cries for, and only what is good for him if he asks politely. Number four, to prevent lying, punish no fault which is freely confessed, but never allow a rebellious, sinful act to go unnoticed. Number five, command and reward good behavior. And number six, strictly observe all the promises you have made to your child. And we need to teach them with this kind of expectation, but it's intentional, it's deliberate. They interviewed Tim Tebow, the University of Florida quarterback, some 20 years ago. In 2007, he was the Heisman Trophy winner. He talked about his parents training him. He talked about the mission trips so that they, are you a virgin? Here's this man on campus, probably the most popular guy in the University of Florida, this Heisman Trophy winner, this buff guy. And are you a virgin? He says, yes, I am. Saving himself for marriage because that's how his parents raised him, to be holy and pure, to be sinless, aspire to live a life that honors the Lord. He said, I think you're stunned right now. And I was ready for that question. But I don't think the expectation, they will follow the Lord. They will serve the Lord. They'll live a holy life. They'll sanctify themselves and be godly. Yes, it is possible to live a holy life in an unholy world. You and I, we have the influence on our children to encourage this. By the way, he married in 2020, and he married Miss Universe. How about that? So you teach, and then secondly, you relate. You build relationships with your children. Relationships that are based on love and respect. Your children know they are loved and they know you respect them because you've invested that time. I'm just going to tell you a cardinal rule about raising children. You need to know this. I wish I'd have learned it when my first child was born. It took a couple years down the road. But here's the rule. Here's the law. Rules without relationship equal rebellion. If you establish rules and you have no relationship, it will equal rebellion. There's no relationship, there's no respect, there's no love. I can promise you that's going to equal rebellion. You're going to have a defiant child if you establish rules with no relationship. So you and I, when we're training our children to follow the Lord, they've got to know that they're loved. We've got to build respect. We've got to invest time. And there is no substitute for time. One article urged this year, more green time and less screen time. Hey, let's repeat it. More green time and less screen time. Turn off the television, get away from the computer, put down the cell phone, take a walk, go on a picnic, go someplace where you build memories, you spend time, you invest some time with your family so you're building relationships. More green time, less screen time. We want to teach, but we want to relate. In Family Matters magazine, it says time is the most precious thing you have. Because our lives are so full of hurry and worry and activity, we often stress the importance of spending quality time with our children, but this may stem from the guilt of knowing that we often push our kids to the bottom of the list. Yes, we assure them, I'll spend some time with you, but only after I finish this and that. Spending time with our kids becomes another item on our laundry list, as if they were a thing to do. Oh no, we've got to invest time building relationships. And now's the time to do it. We're communicating to our children that you are more important than my job. You're more important than my hobby. You're important to me than anything else in the world. And so there's a lifestyle. Thomas Jefferson said, it is in the love of one's family that heartfelt happiness is known. Oh, rules. Without relationship, it equals rebellion. Somehow I think that we believe that, you know, that our kids are just going to turn out okay. And I there's no microwave kids. Man, it takes day by day by day, lifestyle, words and actions and attitude that help to shape that child to become the follower of Jesus Christ that God intended them to be. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 says, and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. In other words, the way you pass along the faith, you don't just, it's not just taught, it's caught. Your faith is not just taught, your faith is caught. They're watching how you live life. You want to teach. You want to relate. Thirdly, you want to affirm. In other words, you want to encourage by positive and negative reinforcement. Affirming your child. Letting them know that they are greatly loved. I saw this recently and it really bothered me. It said, when you criticize your child continually, you're not loving them any less, but you are teaching them to love themselves less. When you constantly criticize or demean or point out their faults, you're not loving them any less, but you're teaching them to love themselves less. Affirmation for every one word of correction. You did a good job. You're important. You're valuable. I appreciate you trying hard. We've got to bring affirmation into the parenting role. Praise them. Correct them, yes, but praise them. Proverbs 15, verse 30 says, the light of the eyes rejoices the heart. In other words, a child can see in the parents' eyes. They are treasured, they are loved, they're blessed, and it causes their heart to rejoice. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11 says, encourage one another and build one another up. Pastor Richard Files says, if you tell your child he's a loser, he'll not disappoint you. If you tell him he's a nuisance, he'll become one. If you tell him he'll never amount to anything, just wait long enough and one day you'll be right. If you say he's your pride and your joy, he'll want to be that. If you tell him he's precious and is made in the image of the eternal God and that he is the apple of God's eye, he'll want to follow a God like that. And we've got to build affirmation. Too bad too many of us, and I at times, have followed Willie Nelson's song. Maybe I didn't treat you quite as good as I should have. Maybe I didn't love you quite as often as I could have. Little things I should have done and said, I never took the time, but you were always on my mind. That's worthless. You're always on my mind. No. Now's the time. You have this little window of opportunity to pour into your family, man. My daddy, of course, one of 13, he had 13 of us kids. He said he believed God wanted him to have a big family, and God wanted him to train them up in the ways of the Lord. And daddy was like 65 before my youngest brother Matthew ever graduated. I mean, they had kids all the way up. You would think you'd want an empty house. I said that one day, don't you sorry you missed the empty house, is what he said. He said, children in the home are the best years of your life. Children in the home are the best years of your life. So when I have young couples and they come and they're wrestling, struggling, trying to juggle your relationship with children and work and all that, and, oh, I just can't wait, kid gets older. Don't wish for it, man. Don't wish for it. You are living the best years of your life right now. Enjoy them. Pour into them. Love them. We want to build these relationships. We want also have to correct, and I understand we have to discipline, and discipline's hard work. Proverbs 22, verse 15 says, a youngster's heart is filled with foolishness, but discipline will drive it away. The Good News Translation says it like this, children are just naturally silly. They do careless things, but a good spanking will teach them how to behave. My dad believed in this verse, by the way. So one day, this is a true story, we were having a fight. I don't know what it was about. And he lined us all up on the couch. I imagine there was five or maybe six. I didn't do anything wrong. It wasn't my fault. That's my story. I'm sticking to it. And so my sister Debbie, just older than me, she was kneeling beside me at the couch. And he started down, you know, up here with one of the older brothers. And he was working his way down. And my sister Debbie turned to me and she said, he'll be tired before he gets done. I'm here to testify that he wasn't, okay? You have to discipline, meaning you have to teach your children how to act. Here's another of my dad's wisdom. He said, no discipline is child abuse. Person says, you can't spank that child. Don't you isolate that child. Don't you take that cell phone from that child. Don't you do anything to cause that child. No, no. He said, no discipline is child abuse. Why is that? Because lack of discipline causes a child to ruin their life. Proverbs 19, verse 18 says, chasten your son while there is hope. Do not set your heart on his destruction. The good times. Not only is it child abuse, it's societal abuse. You are turning loose an untrained, uncooperative, rebellious person on society. Here's another of my dad's wisdom. You ready? Now, listen, you say, why don't you quote somebody who's an expert? He raised 13, 75 grandkids. 125 great-grandkids. I think he's as much of an expert on raising kids as anybody I know. He's been dead for 12 years. Here's what he said. It's harder. No, no. It's easier not to discipline. Somebody said to him one time, why do you spank those boys? He said, can you imagine what it would be like to live in a home with 9 sons? Who were never disciplined. You talk about chaos. They do something wrong, well, let's leave it alone. Somebody gets a bad report at school, they always call home before you ever get home, right? By the way, that's not fair to have to get home and the teacher's already called. But he said it's easier not to discipline, not to spank, not to deal with it. But if you don't discipline, if you don't set parameters, if you don't enforce the rules, then you're helping that child destroy themselves. So love, part of loving a child and building up a child is to discipline them so that they'll serve the Lord. Here's Hebrews 12, verse 16. Listen to this. The Lord, read it. It's an expression of God's care. We want to teach our children how to live. We want to build a relationship with our children because rules without relationship equal rebellion. We want to affirm them. We want them to know they're valuable. They're made in the image of God. They're greatly loved by God and greatly loved by us. They're the most important thing in our life. And then we want to illustrate, T-R-A-I. We don't just want to tell them how to live. We want to show them how to live. If you're not following up your teaching with an illustration of how to do it, then your child is watching more how you live than what you say. You've got to illustrate. You've got to teach them how to pray. You teach them to read the Bible. You sit with them in worship and show them how to worship. You show them how to live life. You show them how to respect authority. You show them how to treat women or treat men. You show them how to live in a godly marriage. I mean, illustrate for your kids how to live life. I remember the story of this father. A pastor was talking about this father driving up to the church, dropping off his son at church. He had golf clubs in his back seat. The window was down. The father was listening to this the pastor was listening to this conversation. And the son was saying to his dad, "I don't want to go to church." And the father said, "When I was little, I had to go to church, and now you're going to have to go to church while you're little." He got out, he slammed the door, and the kid said to his dad, "Okay, I'll go then. But I bet it doesn't do me any more good than it did you." Oh, you think teaching is enough? No. You've got to live it. Faith is not just taught. Faith is caught. Amen. Faith is caught. We live a life that demonstrates how to do it. 1 Timothy 4, verse 12 says, "Be an example to the believers." 2 Thessalonians 3, 7 says, "You yourself know how you ought to follow us." Oh, I love Proverbs 20, verse 7. Proverbs 20, verse 7. Let's read it together. "The righteous man walks in his..." And children are blessed after him. Not just learning by word of mouth. No, they're learning because of the relationship that's been established. They're watching this happen. On Mission Magazine had a story by psychologist Nicholas Zeal. They did a study of children. Children living with both biological parents or adoptive parents who attend religious services together regularly are less likely to exhibit problems at school or at home. These children, compared to children not living with both parents, not attending religious service regularly, are 5.5 times less likely to repeat a grade, 2.5 times less likely to have had their parents contacted by the school. Additionally, intact families who have regular religious participation are less likely to report parental stress and more likely to report a better parent-child relationship. Don't just speak it, live it. So we want to train by teaching, by relationship, by affirming, by illustrating, and then the N stands for now. So when do I start this? How about now? I think when the child's in the womb being developed, the mother can read the Bible to the child. I don't know. It seemed like a good time to go ahead and start reading the Bible. Read the Bible stories, praying for that child. When that child learns how to speak, that's the time. Start learning how to pray. Let that child watch you pray. Let them pray at the dinner table. Teach that children to the children while they're young. Those are the formative years. Listen, between age 3 and age 13, hear me? Between the age 3 and age 13, that's when a child establishes their worldview. You have this little window of opportunity, according to George Barna, who wrote the book, Raising Spiritual Champions. 13 is a critical year. If they haven't established a Christian worldview by age 13, they're probably not going to follow Christ. The numbers go down more by the time they reach 18. I mean, if a child is not saved at a young age, the chances, percentage-wise, of them coming to follow Christ continue to fall.
You got this little window, man. We got this little chance here to pour into their life, to shape into their life. Their hearts are moldable. They're formative. They're listening. They're learning. They're growing. That's the time you got to invest in your children. You wait until they're 18, 19 years old and say, you know, you really ought to follow Christ. They'd laugh in your face. You may say, well, Brother Sam, I didn't do too good a job in those years. I got a word for you. Ready? Grace. Anybody need grace? God knows. God knows our heart. We're all praying for our kids. We all live with a certain number of regrets. If I could do it over, I would do it different. But here's the truth. You can't do it over. But you can pray now. As grandparents, you know, maybe didn't do too good a job with those kids, but wow, God has given me this opportunity to affect and impact the life of my husband, or what I'm gonna live a life that honors the Lord. And you can witness that in me now. I can't do anything about the past, but by God's grace, His mercy, I can be forgiven for that. And I'll start today to be an influence on the next generation. Always remember the difference between a clock and an hourglass. We would be better stewards of time if we kept time with an hourglass. The clock says time runs around. The hourglass says time runs out. Pour into my grandkids to shape them, to love the Lord, to serve the Lord, to live in a way that will bring honor and glory to the Lord. Jesus said in Matthew 18, verse 1, I assure you, unless you turn from your sins and become as little children, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, anyone who becomes as humble as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. God loves the children, and all of us are like children in His eyes. Maybe today you'd say, you know, Brother Sam, the reason I haven't really raised up my kids to serve the Lord is because I never really served the Lord. Okay, here's my last wisdom of truth. You ready? You will never introduce your children to a God you do not know. The most powerful thing you can do for your kids is to walk with Jesus Christ. If that's not happening, now's the time. Let's pray together. God, I want to thank you for the morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you that your word is truth. Thank you like your word is like a hammer that breaks the rocks in pieces. Your word is like a double-edged sword. Your word is like honey. Your word is like milk. Your word nourishes our soul. Your word says that man can't live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And God, there's nothing more important in our lives than our children, our grandchildren. There's nothing more important about their lives than their soul. Our prayer today, Father, is that you would reach our kids, that you turn their hearts to Christ, that our grandchildren, Lord, would know you as their Savior, as their Lord. Father, that you would help us, strengthen us, encourage us, enable us to be the men and women of God, the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. They would know, Lord, by the way we live and talk and act, and that it's Christ in us. Lord, I pray that they would catch a glimpse of the character of Jesus through our lives. They would want to know this God we serve. But I thank you that you're a God of redemption, a God of forgiveness, a God of mercy, a God of grace. So today, Lord, we just want to recommit our families, our lives, our marriages, our children to you. And we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this weekend's message. If you like this, please consider leaving a rating or review for this podcast.